Radio Prague News.
The government will not pay the debts of the owners of OKD, says the Prime Minister. Tatra is the supply truck chassis for military vehicles to the Egyptian and Jordanian armies. And Usain Bolt is returning to the Golden Spike meeting in Ostrava. The Czech government will not pay the debts of the private owners of the coal company OKD, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said on Tuesday. He said it was willing to help those who will eventually be laid off from the company. Mr. Sobotka made the comment a day before a meeting between Industry and Trade Minister Jan Mladek and President Miloš Zeman. The latter has suggested the ailing OKD could be nationalised. The owners of the company have threatened to declare it insolvent as early as Friday unless the government steps in to help. The indebted mining firm employs nearly 10,000 people. Truck maker Tatra is the supply chassis for military vehicles to the Egyptian and Jordanian armies in deals worth a total of around 800 million crowns, ihned.cz reported on Tuesday. Tatra director Petr Rusek said the contracts had been agreed on a visit by Industry and Trade Minister Jan Mladek and a Czech delegation to the two states. Tatra, which is based in the Moravian town of Kopřivnice, went bankrupt 3 years ago. However, after being bought out by two Czech businessmen, it saw a profit of nearly 400 million crowns last year. The official website of the Social Democrats has been attacked by hackers. Party spokesperson Michal Kaczyrek said on Tuesday that the hackers had evidently attempted to alter the content on the party's site or put it out of action. Though it has safeguards against such attacks, the site was temporarily shut down for security reasons, Mr. Kaczyrek said. The Social Democrats website was previously attacked at the start of this year, while a far-right site posted hacked private emails from party chairman Bohuslav Sobotka in January. Czech actress Jitina Bohdalová, who turns 85 next month, will receive the President's Award at the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival in July, organisers announced on Tuesday. In connection with the prize, there'll be a screening of her 1970 movie The Ear. Directed by Karel Kachyňa, it's regarded as a classic of Czech cinematography. A restored version of another great Czech film, Intimate Lighting by Ivan Paser, will be also presented at the 51st edition of the festival. Actor and screenwriter Zdeněk Svěrák, who recently turned 80, will appear in the festival trailer. The fastest man in history, Usain Bolt, is to compete at Ostrava's Golden Spike meeting for the eighth time, organisers said on Tuesday. The Jamaican sprinter will take part in the 100 metres on Friday the 20th of May in what will be his second race of the season. Bolt, who is 29, has never been beaten at the Golden Spike Athletics meeting in either the 100 metres or the 200 metres. My name is Ian Willoughby and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Prime Minister commits the country to the ongoing mission in Afghanistan. Prague citizens protest against attacks on cafes taking a stand against hatred. And later in the programme, we focus on cash from trash. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka returned from an unannounced trip to Afghanistan on Monday, where he met with the country's top officials and visited Czech troops serving in NATO's Resolute Support mission. The Prime Minister said Czech troops would remain for as long as they're needed, but stressed that the country must gradually accept a greater share of responsibility for its internal security. Daniela Lazarova reports.
The Czech Republic currently has close to 250 soldiers serving in Afghanistan, NATO's eighth biggest military contingent in the country. They operate at the Bagram Air Base, north of Kabul, where they're in charge of security, and at the air base in Kabul, where they train Afghan helicopter pilots. In talks with President Ashraf Ghani and Afghan government representatives, Prime Minister Sobotka said Czech troops would remain for as long as they were needed, but Kabul Kabul would be expected to play a more active role in the years to come.
We expect that NATO's presence in the country will gradually diminish in the years to come as the Afghan government accepts a greater share of responsibility for the country's internal security.
The talks also focused on international aid to Afghanistan and the need for the country to press ahead with reforms in order to help resolve the migrant crisis. The Czech Republic annually contributes some 60 million crowns in support of the country's reconstruction and development, and the Prime Minister said Prague was ready to continue providing aid in the coming years, provided there was tangible progress made in reforms. International aid is used for housing and infrastructure, agricultural and education projects and other areas which would gradually improve the quality of life, so as to encourage more young people to stay in the country and work on its reconstruction and development. Prime Minister Sobotka said it was in the Czech Republic's crucial interest to assist the process in order to help ease the migrant pressure on Europe. He also brought up the question of a readmission agreement with Afghanistan, which would help control the flow of refugees and enable Europe to return those who were not granted asylum back to their home country.
We expressed our vested interest in signing a readmission agreement with Afghanistan. Ideally, I would like to see a readmission agreement between the EU and Afghanistan. But if that is not possible, then such agreements would have to be signed on an individual basis, and the Czech Republic would definitely strive to achieve that.
The Czech head of government spent a few hours at the Bagram and Kabul military bases, where he thanked Czech troops for their good work in difficult conditions. Although a gradual reduction of NATO troops is on the cards in the years to come, the mission in Afghanistan remains a top priority for the Czech military, at least until 2018.
Daniela Lazarova there on the surprise visit of the Czech Prime Minister to Afghanistan. Hundreds of people gathered in a Prague square on Monday evening to condemn the hate-related attacks on a number of the city's shops and cafes at the weekend. Several cafes and shops in the district of Vršovice and Vinohrady, which are part of the hate-free project, were sprayed with Nazi symbols and threats. Ruud Frankova spoke to Danny Kolsky, owner of one of the vandalised coffee bars, and asked him what his initial reaction was when he arrived at the cafe.
Because we are opening quite soon, even on Sunday, we were the first who discovered that there is something wrong in the city going on. And honestly, I was quite disappointed, and I felt like this is something that has no space in a democratic society.
How serious would you say is the danger of radicalization in the Czech society? I'm asking because on your Twitter account you likened this act of vandalism to what was happening in Czechoslovakia in the 1930s.
Well, this was really the first impression that I had, as you can see from the time when I posted. It was really like spontaneous reaction. With a few deeper breaths, I would say that I'm kind of disappointed with the way of populism that is going on in the Czech as well as in European politics. And I feel that this is a part of the reaction of the street, you know, that the people who are not part of the politics trying to express their political views through acts like that. I have to say that I was really kind of disappointed, also partly with the reaction of Mr. Ovčáček, who is the president's spokesman. He actually said that there is no connection between the politics and the thing, and this is only a thing of extreme. I think this is wrong, and it's wrong also to see it in this way, you know, because I think that it is really an issue of more and more radical parts in the society.
Will these attacks deter you from taking part in the hate-free project? One of the shop owners has already said that she would quit.
Well, first of all, I have to say that definitely we will not say, okay, now because of the attack we will skip our support to tolerant society. We think that the project is important, especially to work with the topics like hate crimes and hate speech on the internet and so on. So we really think that it's a necessary part of the society. On the other side, I understand that there are people that doesn't like the project because it's funded by the government and so on. You know, there's always the kind of like potential criticism of the project itself. But we feel that it's necessary also to do much more than the borders of the project. We feel that it's really important to work with the local community, even to work with these people, people who did the attack, so they don't have to present their political views in acts like that.
And finally, Prague Mayor Adriana Krnáčová herself took part in the cleanup. How important do you think is the public support of politicians, and would you say their condemnation of similar events is sufficient?
From my point of view, the part of the condemnation was kind of not visible at first. And I think the political support should be much more stronger in a way. I really feel it's more support of the democratic society than of individual café.
Danny Kolsky there, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. And in today's In Focus, Ruth looks at Prague's initiative that's finding treasure in trash.
Reuse, reduce, recycle. That's the main idea behind Zdrojovna, a space where you can discard used or unwanted objects, such as household utensils or small pieces of furniture, rather than throwing them away. Anyone can come to the shop and take these things for free, or attend a workshop where they can learn how to creatively recycle or renovate these objects. I spoke to one of Zdrojovna's founders, Blanka Havlíčková, and I first asked her to tell me more about the initial idea behind the project.
It wasn't my idea, it was the idea of Teresa Klenorová, our friend. And once she just passed a scrapyard here in Prague and she could see a beautiful chair. And she just came to a flat which was completely empty. She was a student at the time and she said, oh, I would like to get the chair. But the man who works for the scrapyard told her that it's not possible, that that's the property of the city already, that he has to destroy it in an ecological way. And she got very angry because she was like, we are destroying things which are very beautiful or which can be used again. And she studied in France before and she could see that these things normally go to your reuse center. So she wrote a status on Facebook. How is it possible that this system is not working in the Czech Republic? And one other friend joined the discussion on Facebook and they started to work together to change the system. So in the beginning, it was like activist idea, I would say. It wasn't a concept.
So how would you describe the main idea behind Zdrojovna? Is it basically an alternative to a scrapyard?
Yeah, exactly. The main idea was that if you have something at home you want to throw away, but you feel like it could be used, it could be like good for someone else, but you just don't know where to put it, you just don't throw it or don't drive to the scrapyard, but you can use like a reuse center. So this was the main idea, to create a reuse center in the Czech Republic.
So what was your next step? How did you actually establish the center?
Yeah, we tried to get public. So we started to organize workshops just to invite public or people who are interested in this idea to see how it could work. But these workshops were always just for one day and was just to inform about the concept. And half a year later, we really get rooms to establish the reuse center. But the problem was that the building got destroyed in 3-4 months. We knew when we moved in that it cannot last long, but we thought it would be like 2 years. But at the end, the developer decided in another way. So we were without a room again. So it was like process again and again, searching for a space where we could stay.
But now you have finally opened your sort of permanent space, and that's at the community center, mm-hmm. cultural center, Klinika at
yes.
Prague Žižkov.
Yes, exactly. We have now 2 activities. The first is the free shop. If you go to free shop, everything is for free. And then we have workshops. And the advantage of this room is that we don't have to pay a rent. So it can be really based on volunteerism. It's not like we have to charge the people for coming. Really, when you want to bring something, you can bring it. But if you want to take something, you can take it. So it makes it easier, because before we had to think all the time how to pay the rent, what will be the services we will offer to the people, to force them to pay us something, to pay the rent, that now it's much easier. So we are very happy to be there.
What exactly are these workshops focused on?
We try to use always garbage. And when I say garbage, I mean plastic bottles, old gramophone records, and we try to reuse them and create something new. So, for example, out of plastic bottle, you can make very nice earrings and jewelry. Also, we try to renovate old furniture. That's also like skill you can learn there. And the group of lecturers who help us to teach the people is always different. So there are always different materials to work with.
What kind of people take part in your workshops?
Usually younger people and young families. I think it's more women than men. And I would say people who are more ecologically aware or who are more interested in these environmental topics or, yeah, probably.
You also told me that one of the target groups are students mm-hmm. coming to Prague mm-hmm. from abroad.
Actually, now it's great timing to say this because lots of Erasmus students or students from abroad or people who just are starting an internship in Prague are coming and will stay probably until Christmas just for 3-4 months. So we also want to invite them, for example, to visit our free shop because it's a great place where we have lots of cups, lots of plates, people are bringing lots of cooking utensils, so they can just take it because it will be for them for free. But also after their stay, they just can bring it back and someone else will use it. So, yeah.
You launched this free shop just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
How successful are you in gathering things and what kind of things do people get rid of uh-huh. most often?
I would say we have lots of cups and also lots of plates. I think this is something people like to buy new because they want to change the color and now they don't want to throw the old one away. So that's something we really get. Usually it's like that someone needs to move out or is moving from a house to a flat and now, for example, brings a full car of different things and is happy that it can be used. So there are more people who take than people to give. But the people who give, they sometimes come with a full car of things. So I think now we are well balanced.
As far as I know, people can't bring anything they want to get rid of.
Yeah, for example, some people offer us, for example, things for babies. And we don't accept that because of hygiene reasons. So basically small furniture mainly, not a big furniture because we don't have so much space. Also, we don't want to offer lots of electronics because sometimes it needs to be repaired and we don't have anyone in the team who could do it.
When I was looking at your Facebook page, I found out that you will be organizing a workshop focused on learning how to work with a knitting machine, because uh-huh. obviously that's one of the things people bring, lots of knitting machines. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most curious objects that you have received so far?
Okay, sometimes people bring something very artistic, like gold plastic flower or something like that. And sometimes we feel, oh my God, that looks strange. But then someone comes and says, wow, can I take it? So I think everything has a buyer. This artistic stuff is sometimes very crazy, but we still accept it because still there are people who just want to get it. Obviously, it's popular among people.
You told me at the beginning that the basic idea behind Zdrojovna is to offer an alternative to scrapyard. What are your sort of future plans for uh-huh. Zdrojovna?
Actually, the ideal plan would be something like Rio Center, which is in France. That's a place where you can bring the stuff you don't want anymore, or they have also a car, so they can come with a car and they can take it from your home. And there are also employed disadvantaged people or people who have mental illness or a problem. And it's a basic work, so it's a way how to integrate them again and how to help them. So that's something we would like to do in future, to focus on this kind of employment of these people.
Finally, what is the nearest workshop that we can look forward to?
It will be on Sunday, October 18, and you can expect about 10 different stations where you can learn how to work with plastic bottles, how to renovate your furniture. Also, you can use the knitting machine, so that will be stuff for everyone, I think.
Blanka Hlavlichkova talking there to Ruth Frankova. That edition was first broadcast in October last year. And that's just about all from us today. You can find us on the internet at www.radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. From myself, Chris Johnston, thanks very much for listening and goodbye.